The tour content from now through Pesach has been sponsored by the Kofsky family in loving memory of Adira, who loved big ideas and asking big questions. Hello, I'm Rabbi Matt Schneeweis, and this is the audio version of the one-page article I wrote and published on my blog, Kol Hasridim, on June 22nd, 2022, entitled, When Hashem Prefers Telling Lies Over Doing Miracles. After taking the monarchy away from Shaul, Hashem charges Shmuel Hanavi with the mission of anointing a new king, saying, Fill your horn and oil and go. I will send you to Yishai of Bethlehem, for I have seen a king for myself among his sons. That's in 1 Shmuel 16:1. Shmuel asks, How can I go? Shaul will hear and kill me. Hashem responds, Take a heifer and say, I have come to bring an offering to Hashem. Invite Yishai to the feast, and I will tell you what to do, and you will anoint for me whom I shall tell you. In other words, Hashem instructed Shmuel to lie. Shmuel did not come to Bethlehem to bring an offering to Hashem, but for the express purpose of anointing a new king. Why did Hashem advise him to do this? How could he advise a tzaddik to lie? Why didn't he miraculously protect his Navi from all harm? Ralbag answers these questions in his lessons section. Quote, The 14th lesson pertains to ethics, namely that it is not considered to be a deficiency of character for a Navi to lie in order to save his life. You see that Hashem advised Shmuel to say, I have come to bring an offering to Hashem, even though he really only came to anoint a king from the sons of Yishai. The 15th lesson is to teach us that a person should not rely on a miracle, even though he is exceedingly perfected and clings to Hashem in righteousness. You see that Shmuel, despite his high level of perfection, was afraid that Shaul would kill him and sought strategies to avoid this, saying, How can I go? Shaul will hear and kill me. He did not rely on a miracle, even though he was going by the command of Hashem. For Hashem's will is that a person should strive to save himself based on the most probable course of action, since Hashem will not do a miracle unless it is absolutely necessary. End quote from the Ralbag. Radak extrapolates the same lessons as the Ralbag, but ties the two points together. He writes, quote, We find that even when HaKadosh Baruch Hu makes a promise to a Navi or a Tzaddik, nevertheless, these individuals will be careful when going to a place of danger. End quote. Radak cites the well-known example of how Yaakov Avinu feared Esav and took precautions, even though he was on a mission from Hashem to return to Aram Naharaim and was promised that Hashem would be with him. Likewise, David fled for his life from before Shaul, even after being anointed as king. Gideon, Yoshua, and others acted strategically in waging wars, even though they were doing so at the behest of Hashem. Radak explains, Quote, The reason for all this is that even though HaKadosh Baruch Hu does miracles and wonders for those who fear him, these miracles mostly proceed in accordance with the laws of nature. Thus, Yaakov feared Esav and Shmuel feared Shaul in accordance with the laws of nature, reasoning that if he anointed a king during Shaul's lifetime, he would need a strategy for how to go, and this was his question, How can I go? HaKadosh Baruch Hu answered him, Take a heifer with you. Our sages learn from this pasuk that it is a mitzvah to distort the truth for the sake of peace. For HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Shmuel, take a heifer with you, thereby showing him that it is not proper for a person to go to a place of danger and rely on a miracle, as it is stated in Devarim 6:16, do not test Hashem your God, end quote from the Radak. To put it bluntly, Hashem would rather advise Shmuel to tell a lie than to do an unnecessary miracle for him. I used to wonder why more frum Jews, especially boys and men, don't learn Tanakh with the classical commentators. The more I learn, the more I suspect I know the answer. They can't learn Tanakh with the classical commentators without undermining their own beliefs about how Hashem does and doesn't work. How many Jews go about life thinking that Hashem will protect them because they consider themselves to be righteous, or because they're on a mitzvah mission? How many Jews give lip service to notions of hishtadlus, but privately believe that Hashem would never allow them to fall into harm? But the ways of the tzaddikim and the neviim in Tanakh are different. They harbor no illusions about guarantees of divine protection. Instead, they rely on their God-given wisdom to strategically implement God's will. If you've gained from what you've learned here today, please consider contributing to my Patreon at www.patreon.com/Rabbi Schneeweis. Alternatively, if you would like to make a direct contribution to the Rabbi Schneeweis Torah Content Fund, my Venmo is at Matt-Schneeweis, and my Zelle/Chase QuickPay and PayPal are MattSchneeweis@gmail.com. Even a small contribution goes a long way to covering the cost of my podcast and will provide me with the financial freedom to produce even more Torah content for you. If you would like to sponsor an article, shiur, or podcast episode, or if you are interested in enlisting my services as a teacher or tutor, you can reach me at rabbischneeweis@gmail.com. Thank you to my listeners for listening. Thank you to my readers for reading. And thank you to my supporters for supporting my efforts to make Torah ideas available and accessible to everyone.